John chapter number 3. You know, we talk about heaven. We prepare for things in life, do we not? When we were kids in high school, we prepared for those tests we knew were coming up. We wanted to make preparation for that. And we prepared for college, and we prepared for work, and we prepare for retirement. Well, if you think something as big as eternity, don't you think we ought to prepare for that? Amen? Ought to be prepared for that. All right, John chapter number 3, you stand with me. Let's read some verses. And I'll give you a thought for this morning. And we're just trying to be sensitive and follow the Lord. And hopefully we get it right. And if we get it wrong, then we'll get it wrong for the Lord. Amen. John chapter number 3, verse number 1. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And he came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And let me pause just long enough to say that he says in verse number 2, we. But I think that the thing that's going on in the life of Nicodemus is more than a we thing. It is a me thing. It wasn't we want to know. It was I want to know. Amen. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. And the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whether it cometh or whether it goeth. So is every one that's born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Thou art a master in Israel, and knowest not these things. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever, and I want you to pay attention to this word, believeth. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, oh, here it is again, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that, well, what do you know? There it is again. Believeth on him is not condemned, but he, there we go, that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not what? Believed. In the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doth evil hateth the light, neither cometh the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Look at verse 36, the last verse. And he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not, the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Thank you, Father. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Last Sunday morning, I brought a message to you out of John chapter number 2, entitled Attending a Wedding with Jesus. And in that chapter, we find recorded the first miracle that Jesus performed. He turned the water into wine. We talked about that actually Sunday morning and Sunday night. But there's something bigger in John 2 than turning water into wine. There's a wonderful picture of the life of man with Christ and without Christ. We see it in those water pots. We see it in that ceremony. Without Christ, we are empty. And without Christ, we are dry and we are dead and we are dull. But with Jesus Christ, we're full and we've got joy. Amen. After the wedding in Cana of Galilee, chapter 2 ends with Jesus cleansing the temple for the very first time. and Jesus giving them a great illustration of his death, burial, and resurrection. He says something like this: tear this temple down, and in 3 days I'll rebuild it. Of course, they thought he was talking about Solomon's temple or the temple in Jerusalem. It wasn't Solomon's temple, but the temple in Jerusalem. But he wasn't. He was talking about his body. And in my heart, I'm in John chapter, the book of John again. This time I'm in John chapter number 3. For us to properly understand this, let me say again a little something about chapter number 2. And then I'll give you a short, I'll try to make it a short message and we'll get out of here. In John chapter number 2, after the wedding in Cana of Galilee, just so you understand chapter 3, in John chapter 2, after the wedding of Cana of Galilee, we see those two pictures. We see the picture of the cleansing of the temple, and we see the picture of the illustration that Jesus gives about destroying the temple. In the cleansing of the temple, we see a picture of the heart of man. And in the destruction of the temple and rebuilding it in 3 days, we see the solution for the problem of the heart of man. You see, the reality is this: the condition of man's heart is seen in Jesus running out the money changers. You think about this. These men had a lack of reverence for holy things. They were doing things in the temple that they should not be doing. You and I live in a day and a generation where we have a lack of reverence for holy things. Now, don't get me started. It's not my message and it's not the time to preach about the way we should act, the way that we should conduct ourselves, the way that we should do in God's house. There's a whole message there, but it's not today. But in this, we see the condition of the heart of man. We see that they were worldly minded about things instead of heavenly minded about things. They only cared about money. They only cared about gain. They weren't considering the other side. Boy, we could preach for a while on how that we are worldly minded instead of being heavenly minded. Somebody said that too many people are too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. Well, I'm afraid too many people are too worldly minded to be any heavenly good. Boy, we've sung about heaven and we've talked about heaven, but boy, how many times are our minds really on heaven? They had a lack of zeal for God. We see a picture of the heart of man. The heart of man is desperately wicked, and who can know it? But Jesus cleanses that temple, and when he does so, they ask him the question. They said, "By what authority do you do these things?" And he said, "Well, here's the authority I do these things. I'll show you my authority. Tear this temple down, and in 3 days I'll rebuild it." And of course, they thought he was talking about the temple, but he was talking about his body. And after this encounter, the Bible says that many people start believing on Jesus Christ. And as Jesus does his miracles, as he preaches his sermons, and as people start believing, something happens in the heart of one man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus, no doubt, saw all the stir and heard all the buzz. And something inside of his heart said, could this really be him? Could this really be the Messiah? And with that in his heart, he comes to Jesus by night, according to verse 1 and verse 2. And begins to ask him some questions. And I want to preach just real quickly on this familiar passage of Scripture and preach on this thought: a conversation in the night. A conversation in the night. Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he said, "Lord, we know that you're a man from God." And Jesus said, "I'm much more than that." And he gives him 4 illustrations to explain to him who he is and the way of salvation. I want to show you these 4 illustrations. I made no sake alliteration. You'll be familiar with all 4 of them. Number 1, if you're taking notes, write this down. I see the illustration of the new birth. Y'all pray for me this morning. Let me just say this in passing. I'm struggling a little bit. Y'all pray for me, okay? But when you're contending with hell over souls, and I don't know why I am this morning, but I stood in my office today and prayed about some folk that I felt like I would be contending. contending with their soul this morning. So y'all just pray for me for a minute, okay? There's the illustration of the new birth. Look in verse number 1. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. According to verse number 1 and verse number 2, Nicodemus comes to Jesus with a question on his heart. This man Nicodemus is an interesting Bible character. When we read about Nicodemus, there are a few things that we can immediately know about this man. We know that he was a teacher. According to verse number 10, Jesus said, Thou art a master. That word master means teacher. Thou art a teacher in Israel and knowest not these things. This was a man that was well educated. This was a man that knew religious things, that taught religious things. This was a well-respected man. He was a highly educated man. We know that he was a teacher in Israel. According to verse number 1, we know that he was a Pharisee. A Pharisee, to be a Pharisee, meant that he lived by the strictest possible code of conduct. He looked clean, he talked clean, he walked clean. Everybody that saw him thought he was clean. He was an educated man and he was a well-respected man and he was a clean man. According to verse number 2, however, he was a troubled man. The Bible said that this educated, this clean, this well-respected man is troubled. You say, preacher, how do you know he's troubled? Well, I know he's troubled for 2 reasons. Number 1, I know he's troubled because he comes to Jesus in the nighttime. How many of you all could be honest enough, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of y'all could be honest enough to know that it is in the nighttime a lot of times that we deal with things in our heart? I don't know why, but when the sun's shining, things just don't seem as big and as bothersome. Am I right or not? We got work and we got family and we got kids and we're busy, but we lay down in our bed at night and everything's quiet and all we can do is think. He's troubled because he comes to the Lord by night. I can feel the trouble in his soul this morning. He has seen some things, he has heard some things, he has witnessed some things, and it is bothering him. Amen. And I wonder, as the sun set over the horizon, and everything got quiet, this was Passover time, it was a busy time, but people started going to their rooms, and everything got quiet, and Nicodemus thought, and eventually said, I'm going to have to go talk to him. How do you know he's troubled, preacher? Well, he come to Jesus, but I know that he's troubled just for the sake that he come to Jesus. Amen. He comes saying something like this, we know that thou art a teacher in Israel, that we business. He wasn't worried about what all the other Pharisees were thinking. He was worried about what he was thinking. We know. He comes saying, there's something about you that I cannot explain and we cannot explain. There's something been bothering me and I want to know what it is. According to verse number 2, he was a sincere man. Sure he was. When he comes to Jesus, he is not trying to trick Jesus. He is not trying to lay a roadblock. The Pharisees will do that as the Gospels roll on. But Nicodemus isn't doing that. Nicodemus is bothered and he's sincere about it. I wonder what Nicodemus thought when he asked the question, who are you? That's what his question was, Dad. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles thou doest except God be with him. The question in that was this, who are you? Is that not what he's asking? Who are you? And instead of Jesus responding the way we would think, he would respond, well, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Son of God, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, I'm Mary's son. He does not answer that question at all. Who are you? And here's the response, Brother James. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Who are you? And he said, you've got to be born again. I wonder how surprised Nicodemus was when he asked the question, who are you? And the response comes, you need to be born again. And Nicodemus is thinking, that's not the question that I ask. That's not the answer to my question. But it was the answer to his question. Because Nicodemus would never understand who he was until he had been born again. You can't know him till you know him. Does that make sense? You got to know him. And Nicodemus, shocked as Jesus said, you must be born again. Nicodemus did not understand. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his... Now let me say something right here, just in passing. There are many of us that grew up in church or have been around church for a long period of time. And those of us that have grew up in church or been around church, there are certain things that we hear said, and we know what they mean, or we assume they know what they mean, or at least we're familiar with them. Born again. We know, we've heard that all our lives, right? I've heard that since I was a 14-year-old boy and started, so that was a bunch of years ago. And we hear that and we say, oh, I know what born again means. It means to be saved. We hear saved and we know what that means. But the truth is that there are some people that don't. Nicodemus was a well-educated man. And when he heard that terminology, he said, I don't understand that, sir. I don't understand. Jesus answered him something like this. He said to be born again means, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, except a man be born of water, there it is, verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Because that which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit. Verse 7, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. What? Sir, I don't understand that born again stuff. And Jesus said, well, it means this. It means you've got to be born of water and of the Spirit. That water, don't let it confuse you. In verse number 5, it is not a pond, nor a pool, nor a baptismal tub. That water, you can read it for yourself. James 1:18, 1 Peter 1:23. That water is the Word of God. Amen. That water is the Word of God that washes us away. Jesus is saying, you've got to be born of the water. That's the Word of God. You've got to hear that word. That word has got to be preached to you and presented to you. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 10 that you've got to have faith. But how can you have faith if you've not heard the word? And how can you hear the word unless somebody preaches it to you? So what Jesus is saying is this. Sir, I don't understand born again. Jesus is saying this. You hear the word of God. And the word of God impacts you. And it enlightens you, and it brings you to the point that you start realizing things that you had never realized before. And that water does something in your life. It brings you to the place of salvation. Amen. And then that Spirit, there's that Spirit of water and of the Spirit. And then that Spirit of God, that's the one doing all this the whole time. He births you into the family of God. There's that born again. You call upon Him. And He saves you. He takes away your sins. He applies the blood of Christ to your life. He does something in your life. And He puts you into the family. There's born again. He puts you into the family of God. And then He comes to live and dwell inside of you. Let me say something very quickly. You say, how can all that happen? It all happens by faith. What was the word I kept asking you to notice? Believe. Nicodemus, even after Jesus explains it to him, he doesn't understand. And I believe Jesus is trying to get this point across to Nicodemus as we go forward. He's trying to get this to him. Nicodemus, I'm not asking you to understand it all. I'm just asking you to believe it. As a 14-year-old boy, if you were to set me down and ask me theological questions and made me answer and write down doctrinal truths, I probably couldn't have done it. But God wasn't asking me to explain theology, eschatology, to alliterate a sermon. God wasn't asking me for apologetics that night. All He was saying is, do you believe it or not? Nicodemus said, how can these things be? Just believe. I was talking to a young man not too many weeks ago, and he's struggling with some things, struggling with some salvation issues. He's trying to figure a lot of things out. And I appreciate that. I appreciate him trying to, at least he's thinking about it. Praise the Lord, at least folk are thinking about it. Amen. But I told him, I said, sir, I said, you're going to have to come to the point in your life where you stop trying to figure these things out and just believe them. Amen. Stop trying to figure them out. Just believe them. Who are you? He said, well, you're going to have to be born again to understand that. Amen. Jesus said, okay, Nicodemus, you don't understand the illustration of the new birth. Let me give you a second one. How about the illustration of the wind? The illustration of the wind. He says in verse number 3, he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whether it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. I'm using my imagination now. I don't know. But I can see a confused look on Nicodemus's face. Jesus can tell that he does not understand. And about that time, the cool night breeze blows by. And Jesus said, well, let me give you another illustration. You see, being born again is kind of like the wind. You say, how's it like the wind? Well, you can't see the wind. You can't see the wind. You don't know when it's coming. You don't know when it's going. You can't hold it. You can't touch it. You can't see it. But you see the evidence of the wind. We can't hold it. We can't grasp it. But we can see the wind as it blows through the trees. We can feel it as it blows across our faces. You can't see the wind, Nicodemus, but you can feel the wind. You know, that's the way it is with the Spirit of God. Amen. We can't. As we come into a church on a Sunday morning, we can't see whether God's going to be there or not. Amen. Sometimes we get in the service and we feel Him. He blows upon our hearts. Amen. According to verse number 9, when he gives the second illustration, he's still confused. How can these things be? You see, the problem for Nicodemus is that he's still trying to figure it out. And it's still faith. But you know, the thing I appreciate about the Lord is the Lord doesn't scold him for his confusion. And he doesn't give up on him for his confusion. Jesus just keeps giving illustration. In fact, I like what he says in verse number 13. We're talking about faith here. I'm trying to move quick at this point. I like what he said. He said, no man hath ascended up into heaven except he that came down from heaven, either the Son of Man which is in heaven. There's that verse. I can't tell you heavenly things because you don't understand earthly things. He said, but here's one thing I can tell you. You can trust me about heavenly things because I have been there. See, salvation is faith, and who better to trust about heavenly things than the one that's been there? Amen. Number 3 gives him that illustration of the serpent. as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. I'm not going to preach this. I'm just going to say this. I feel like we're coming to a close. This serpent in the wilderness is a picture of Jesus Christ. In fact, it's the third picture of Jesus Christ in the Bible, in the Gospel of John, I should say. In John chapter number 1, we're given the first illustration. He is the Lamb of God, slain for the sins of the world. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." It's a picture of Christ on Calvary. He's on Calvary and He's shedding His blood. He is the sacrificial Lamb. He is dying so that all men might be saved. He's the Lamb of God, the death of Christ. In chapter number 2, He is the temple that once it's tore down is rebuilt in 3 days. The temple's a picture of the resurrected Christ. He is dying for the sins of the world in chapter 1, but He is resurrected in chapter number 2. He did not stay dead. And then in chapter number 3, He's the serpent on the pole. The serpent on the pole is the Christ that has been resurrected and lifted up, and He's drawing all men to Himself and offering all salvation that'll come to Him. And then finally, He gives Him the illustration of light and darkness. The illustration of light and darkness. Verse number 19, verse number 20, verse number 21. You see, here's the truth in this last illustration. The Lord is telling us this. He's saying, I don't want anyone to be condemned. I don't want anyone to die lost. I don't want anyone to go to hell. In fact, He says this. He said, if people choose to go to hell, they choose on their own because they love their sin. They don't want to answer for their sin. He said, but I am the light. I am the way of salvation. Let's bow our heads. Let's just pray for a minute. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved? From the oldest among us to the youngest among us, are you saved? Salvation is more than coming to church. It is more than owning a Bible. It is more than a way of life. Salvation is faith. It is believing in Jesus Christ. So let me ask you a question. Has there ever been a time in your life where you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Does anybody want to come pray?